What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. Barrett, 4 days to get me a birthday present. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the returning KFGD co-host, Upload VR's David Jagno. Yay! You made it back, David.
You said my name right. I'm impressed.
Jesus, God, dude. And it's that thing. You know I'm an idiot. You've talked to me. We've had conversations. We're friends. And I just tell you, I see your last name, and I see it, and I'm always like, it's like go like the Saints. And then I say new. And then I'm like, you know what? I just got to start spelling it Jag-No. Now, you've gone on the document here. You've gone in the same way I try to do Japanese names now. Because I know in my head how to say them, but when it gets down here to the fat mouth, blah, 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 blah.
I understand.
Comes out garbage. You know?
It's better than trying to pronounce the X. That's what most people do. Jagnox, Jagnooks.
Yeah, no, yeah. No. Yeah. It's an interesting last name you have.
I hear a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard a lot of things in all my years on life. You know what I heard, David? You guys are taking E3 by storm this year. What did you announce today?
That is correct. As of about an hour ago, we announced the E3 VR showcase.
You and, copycat sons of bitches.
Did you notice how we even use the word showcase?
You took the showcase. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. You talked to me ahead of time about it. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. And no, you're absolutely right. We saw what you guys did, and we love the idea. We thought you guys did a great job.
Yeah.
And obviously, Nintendo Directs are super popular. Yep. State of Play is now a thing. And everyone's going digital, and people are moving away from E3. There's open time slots on the week now where there's entire chunks of days where there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And so we're like, you know what? VR needs to have a spotlight.
Yeah,
because
100%.
E3 is still the biggest, you know, event in the gaming world. You know, it's kind of spread out more across the year now, but it's still E3 is E3.
Yeah.
And with no Sony press conference, you know, there's going to be no PSVR highlights of any kind.
Sure. The stage never immediately gets smaller, right?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is like the same thing about when PSX went away and why we did the Kinda Funny Game Show.
Exactly.
Was the idea like, well, where do these games go? And E3, it's the same deal. Whereas I'm so happy and so proud of you guys for looking at what we did with the showcase, being inspired and being like, you know what? We're going to do one just for VR games. Because again, right now, as I'm lining up the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, right? Like we were indie focused the first time around,
right.
But we still had bigger AA games in there. Whereas this year, it very much is for E3. No, this is the indie showcase. This is the indie stage because
that's
the
awesome.
Other AA games have places to go, whether it be Microsoft, Square, which we'll talk about soon. Yeah, it's awesome to see you do that too. So you're doing it 9 a.m. Monday morning
right.
of E3, June 10th. How long you think you're going for? How many games? What can you talk about today?
So we don't want to reveal who's involved yet. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot of the VR developers and companies that you would expect.
Sure.
But also a lot that you might not have heard of before.
That's great.
We really want to give a platform for people to show what they're doing and what they're doing to move VR forward. And there's nothing like that out there. You know, we thought maybe the PC Gaming Show would do that, but they never really embraced VR.
They got to worry about their new turbo taxes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Excel spreadsheets. I understand.
Exactly.
Got
exactly.
him, Baron. Ring it up.
And then, as you know, this spring coming is the new Oculus headset, the Quest.
Oh, my God, Quest. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the VR market's continuing to grow and expand.
Yeah.
And PSVR is bigger than ever, over 4 million headsets, which, you know, compared to 90 million PSVRs, doesn't sound like a lot.
Or PS4s, yeah.
Or PS4s, yeah. But if you think about the fact, like, Uncharted 4 is one of the best-selling PS4 games, I think it's still under 10 million units.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 4 million is quite a lot of headsets.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, to talk about a peripheral to jump on board
with,
still growing, that's still finding its legs. Oh, my gosh.
Something a lot of people are still skeptical about, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you think for PlayStation VR? Do you think the next iteration is wireless? Do you think that's the next big change for them? Is just a better screen inside of it?
I'm hoping they don't try to go that route just yet.
Yeah.
I think they have more important things they should focus on, like better tracking.
Yeah, that's
more than one single camera is super crucial. Maybe they'll go inside out and put the cameras on the headset like the Quest and the Rift S. But they need better controllers, too. No analog sticks is, you know, very limiting for a lot of games.
Yeah.
And just overall better tracking should be the focus, I think, for the next iteration. And they did announce the current PSVR will work on PS5.
They did, yeah.
So that's huge news, especially with the backwards compatibility. You know, every PS5 is going to be, you know, better than a Pro. Games are going to look better, sharper. So the current headset has some more life in it, I think.
Oh, yeah,
with more power behind it.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, guess what? At Upload's E3 showcase, they're announcing the new PlayStation VR. I just said it. You can't say that. I can say that. You know, you can't reveal his cards.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
So you got to tune in now. June 10th, Monday, 9 a.m. It's PlayStation. Like, you know what? Here's a new one. We'll see. It's so cool you guys are doing that, though. I really like that. Thank you
for your support. It means a lot. And, you know, we're really excited. And just to clear things up, it is not a physical event.
Sure.
Okay. A lot of people have asked us about booth space and demo kiosks, and
it's weird, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, the first game showcase, people were doing that to me too, and I was like, "What? No, it's no.
It's just a video. It's going to be pre-made, you know, like you guys did. It'll be premiered on YouTube, and then it'll, you know, people can watch it anytime on YouTube. We won't have a physical event space of any kind, but So
that's our same thing for Kind of Funny Games E3 showcase. Yeah, same idea. It's just like it was before. We're going to have this event. We're going to this video. We're going to put it out on YouTube. That's where you're going to go and get it.
Cool.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's stuff that's coming up in June, and I'm excited about it. But Bear, let me tell you, I'm more excited about the news of today. Like Square Enix stealing our press conference time slot, Anthem adding some features everybody's wanting, more Fortnite stuff, and even more news than that, because today's a real day of news. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns. Bad PSN names don't exist anymore, and it still hurts inside my soul. But I'm glad you can change your name now. Then, tune in live. We record the show twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. Cooking with Greggy is back.
All right.
Yeah. If you go over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, the first episode of Second Helpings, the second season of Cooking with Greggy, is up. This is a show brought back by you because you loved us so much on our Patreon fundraiser. Thank you so much for that. Speaking of the Patreon fundraiser, that made the Vancouver meet and greet possible. The Kind of Funny World Tour is in Vancouver May 4th. You can go to kindoffunny.com/events to find out all about that. Speaking of Patreon again, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Blackjack, James Davis, and Mohammed Mohammed. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you'd like to hear your name read for a month. And then, of course, today we're brought to you by Quip, Experian, and Brooklinen. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Number one, these sons of bitches at Square Enix have stolen the E3 press conference time slot I wanted for the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, all right? As everybody knows, PlayStation always takes that 6 p.m. Monday slot. PlayStation's like, I'm out. I was like, fine, I'll do it myself. And here comes Square saying they're going to take it, and now I got to figure out where I'm going to put this dang showcase. Anyway, Square Enix tweeted today, Square Enix Live E3 2019 kicks off another exciting lineup of titles. Tune in to the squenix.link/E3 on Monday, June 10th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Hashtag Square Enix E3. David, are you excited? Square Enix coming out swinging, going and taking the big boy slot, the big one.
No. Why not? Really. They've never really done anything at E3 that's impressed me recently.
Yeah, their press conference last year, it was no mas.
Yeah, it's kind of been just a year of, you know, here's what's coming next for Final Fantasy 14. Here's the new DLC for this game. Here's, the next Tomb Raider game, next Just Cause game. And, I mean, it's just kind of predictable. And so maybe this means that there will be more.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be that Avengers game that
Lee
so
writes
many people
in to
are
patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, so Square Enix has officially taken over Sony's slot at E3. That's one E3 question out of the way. With Square taking over this slot, it puts them in a huge spotlight. Do you think this will finally be the year we hear about the Avengers game, or does having this or having a slot that was previously set up for the main thing mean absolutely nothing? I would think it means something. I think that Square is feeling themselves. I think that Square is coming in thinking that they have to capitalize on what didn't wow people last year, and they have to come out swinging. The problem is, with Xbox being the day before, this is what always hurts them, right? Is that they go on Xbox's stage and show something, Tomb Raider,
right,
or whatever,
right,
and they come back to their main stage, or their E3 stage, and then show something, the same thing, another look at it.
Or maybe
likes
a
that.
Separate demo of the same game that they already announced.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the question then would be for the Square, is it going to be that they hold off? You know, Andrea and I were talking jokingly yesterday based on the Fortnite Cross Avengers stuff. Like, and where is the Avengers game? Blah, 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 blah. this feels like the E3, they have to do something with that Avengers game. And I would hope that by taking this slot, it means they're going to go big with it and they're going to have a giant blowout. Am I hoping too much, though, David?
I agree that I hope and I think they need to and have to. But people have been saying the same thing about Microsoft for years at E3, and they still haven't done what they need to do.
Sure. And well, that's always the funny thing about us here being the armchair quarterbacks, right? Yeah. You cut to a boardroom, like, we don't have that. What do they want us to do? We can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're in a position where, you know, obviously their games have been doing well. You know, they're successful. And I think people are, for the most part, pretty pleased with what they're coming out with. But
are they? And are they successful enough? I mean, like, I feel like there's a tale of two squares. Uh-huh. Where I think Square Japan, Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, they're happy. They're doing great.
Yeah.
Square Western is in a weird spot, right? Where it's like Deus Ex, dead. Tomb Raider, under-delivering. Avengers, seemingly taking forever. Maybe this was always the plan.
Even Just Cause 4 had some issues.
Just Cause 4 doesn't deliver. Nobody cares about that. And then Square Enix Montreal, the Go games, right? Like, they've been all quiet forever.
Yeah.
Like, there's so, like, what ports. Is going on with Square Enix in the Western part of the, or, you know, just the West in general, including other English-speaking territories? What is exactly going on with them, and what are they doing?
They've really expanded so much in recent years that I tend to forget that they are more than just the Japanese arm, because that's, in my mind, that's what you look at, right? Square,
Let me bring in Emmett Watkins Jr., who writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what are you guys hoping to see from Square Enix's conference at E3? I'm surprised you're even having one, since Kingdom Hearts 3 and the latest Tomb Raider just came out. I'm, of course, hoping to see Avengers, but since they'd have to fill time with more than just one announcement, I'll cross my fingers for a sleeping dog successor. Parentheses, it was great! Everyone should play it, damn it! Emmett Watkins Jr. It was great! Everyone should play it, Barrett. Okay. I think it was PlayStation Plus. Do you not like it, Barrett? You got that breathy okay, like you're dismissive of it.
No, I'm just kidding.
You better wash your tongue over there, all right?
Little.
Oh, it is big. No. That's a KFAF joke. So I think Avengers, obviously, you have to do it. The question is, do you lead with it, which I think you do, come out swinging with it, or close with it?
That game was announced, 2 years ago?
Yeah, we did this yesterday, right, Barrett? You know, I never remember the dates. So it was, 2017 is when it got announced, I believe.
Wow,
Barrett,
yeah.
Give me another fact check on that, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think January 2017, it came out of the blue. They put
January 26, 2017.
Yeah. Again, as we talked yesterday, Andrea holds on to some kind of hope that it's connected to the movies, or at least opens that door. I think that door is slammed shut. I don't think that's what Marvel Games is doing.
Sure.
So I think it does make sense of, cool, we'll be on the other side of Endgame. People have chilled out a bit. We'll know who's alive and who's dead. You'll understand what the Avengers are, so that when Square does, hey, here is our Avengers game, here's what it looks like, here it is, the classic thing, but it's in its own world, and you get it. This is me hypothesizing. It'll make sense to everybody and be their own thing.
What's the date for Ultimate Alliance 3? That's later this year,
right? Summer. I want to say June, but Barrett, I'll take a search for that too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But I think even that, like, there's enough, with that being Switch only,
It doesn't overlap that much.
Exactly. Yeah. We've seen of it, right, cartoony graphics versus, again, what I was talking about yesterday. I assume the Crystal Dynamics game is going to be gorgeous. It's going to be over-the-shoulder third person.
You would imagine.
I mean, be. That's what I want.
And it's been so long since they've had a game from Marvel like that, other than Spider-Man. I remember the movie tie-in games used to come out all the time. They had the Captain America game, which wasn't that bad, actually. There was, you know, all the Iron Man games that were that bad. And, you know, there were just so many games that used to come out, but, you know, all that's died off. And even if they weren't that good, I kind of miss it. You know, like, I liked being able to buy a game that was tied in with the movie. Like, every now and then they were okay.
That's the thing, is I don't miss it, but
maybe
I do.
Maybe that's not the right word.
No, but you're right, where it's like, I fucking have a soft spot for X-Men
just
Origins
that
Wolverine.
Optimism of buying a game that tied to a movie you love. Like, just hoping maybe.
Exactly.
July 19th, 2019.
Thank you so much, Barrett. That was, and also a shout out to Ill Grill Chill, who shouted that out. And then also a shout out to the idiot who drank 6 pounds of pizza sauce at the Kansas City meet and greet, who points out Limited Games has also announced they're hosting an E3 press conference June 10th at 2 p.m. Central.
I think they did one last year, too.
They did. Awesome. Theirs was really funny because it was all on bad green screen on purpose.
And I'm assuming Devolver will have another one as well.
Of course, and they'll murder somebody up there again. So stretching beyond that, right, I think Avengers is guaranteed. The Sleeping Dogs would be awesome, Emmett. I don't see it happening. I'll throw out there that I think this is where you could see Octopath Traveler 2. I think you could see the first tease of that, and they'll be like, tomorrow there'll be more at the Nintendo Direct, because Nintendo always does the Direct on Tuesday morning. Or yeah, not.
It'd be good timing, because that's coming out on PC, right? And
yeah, the first one, yeah, it's coming out, yeah. And then I don't think, I know this sounds crazy, I don't know if it's beyond the realm of possibility to get a Tomb Raider teaser. I realize they just put one out, but I think, again, that was the one that was split between Crystal and Square Enix Montreal, right? So right. Maybe Crystal's two teams, and they've had somebody else working on a Tomb Raider. I don't know.
What's the over-under on Final Fantasy VII Remaster? Of them just showing
the remaster
it,
of it?
Or remake.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that's another one that I would put in a likely category, because I feel like you got to have something.
Because they restarted the development of that a year or two, I think.
Yeah, that was announced, 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
PSX, one of the PSX back in the day. Yeah, I think that's the thing. And with no PlayStation, sure. Then you get into stuff like, what about Deus Ex? I mean, I know we said Deus Ex is dead, but what about a reimagining of something or whatever? I think it's way too soon, and I don't think that's
a franchise. You want to hear my way out there prediction?
Sure, let me hear it. All right.
I think they're going to announce a multiplayer battle royale for Just Cause. Maybe a mode of some kind. Yeah.
Oh, a mode? Okay, DLC? Yeah. Okay, that I could see. That'd be interesting.
It'd be too late for that game, though.
Would it, or would it rejuvenate the game?
No.
No. Ship sail on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Probably.
God, they had such a marketing campaign on that. From anyone could have told you that's not going to perform. Don't put that much money in it. Why is it on billboards? Why is it on the side of buildings? No, that's not going to happen. No offense to Just Cause fans. Kevin loves it, but no. I also put on here Go Game. Again, what is Square Enix Montreal doing, right? I don't know. That could be there. And then, Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. Tim is always quick. If he was here, if he ever came to work on time, he'd be here and he would be saying something to the effect of, we still don't know what the next Final Fantasy is. They still haven't announced the title. They still haven't done anything.
Which is weird.
He's like, strange. That's very weird for them. So, you could see something coming around. So, we'll see. Lord of Pwn points out Final Fantasy VII Remake was announced at E3 2015. Really? I thought it was PSX.
No, I remember because that was my first E3.
Huh.
And that was my first press conference ever. And I'll never forget being there for that, Shenmue 3, and Last Guardian.
That's why I'm confusing it.
Trifecta, the whole room just was shaking with excitement. It was a big moment. I remember that.
I think they showed it again later that year at PSX.
No, that makes sense. That's totally right. I understand. Dreams all blends together for me of which conference was which. Lord of Pwn goes on and says, reminder that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is still a PlayStation first title. There is no PlayStation conference at E3, and there is a Final Fantasy VII concert the night before Square Enix's E3 event.
Oh, see, that's a good point, because they had the Kingdom Hearts concert the night before E3, I think 2 years ago, and that's when they announced the date, is at that concert. So
I think Square is not run by dumb people. Dumb people don't work there. I think they understand that they have missed the mark for these last couple E3s, and that if they're coming in and they are taking the PlayStation spot, which has always been, and I don't mean, I said earlier, the big boy slot or whatever, it's always been the finale, right? Nintendo does its own thing. You know what you're getting. Nintendo's awesome. Fucking can't wait for Animal Crossing. But like, PlayStation was always like the final. Here we go. Here's the big AAA stuff. Like, I feel if Square's like bold enough to take that slot, they have to have something. Which is better than us, because we have nothing. We just have cool indie games for you. That's all I got. You know what I mean? We shall see. June 10th, not that far away. Terrifying to look at a calendar. I don't know if you've seen this lately.
I try not to.
God. Jen told me the number of days to E3 yesterday. I was like, don't ever say that again. Stop. I don't.
Yeah, because if you compare the stress level of, oh my God, it's next week versus, oh my God, it's 5 weeks away. Mm-hmm. It's about the same, so I just avoid it.
Sure.
Yeah. And it just let it surprise me.
One day you wake up, you're like, I'm in LA. Fuck. number two, Anthem has a patch 1.1.0, and it adds a bunch of new features and requested features. I'm pulling from the new features. The patch is way bigger than this, but if you're one of the people who poo-pooed Anthem at the beginning, you'll be happy to hear these. The Sunken Cell Stronghold is now available to all players who have completed the main story Critical Path. They added the ability to select contracts from the start of Expedition screen rather than going to the individual contracts board in Fort Tarsis or in the Launch Bay. That's impressive if you played it and were mad at that. Here's where it gets crazy. Added the ability to launch a new mission from the end of Expedition screen without having to return to Fort Tarsis or the Launch Bay. Added the ability to access the Forge during missions, strongholds, and free play. You can now change your gear without having to return to Fort Tarsis or the Launch
Bay. That's huge. It sounds minor if you haven't played Anthem.
Yeah.
But those loading screens, oh my God.
And that's, I think that's the biggest thing to take away from this. If you're not an Anthem fan, you're like, I don't get it. Like, or not an Anthem player, I should say, or didn't play Anthem at launch. You don't get it, but you probably heard people bitching about it. And this is like one of their main complaints was the fact that, why do I have to go back to Fort Tarsus to get back into the game again? Why can't I just keep playing the missions back to back to back?
And
back
it was compounded by the fact that at launch, most of the crashes happened at loading screens. Mm. And you had to see loading screens every couple minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was just, especially some of those missions were so short. You would just go out into the open world, go talk to someone, mission complete, loading screen. Go to the fort, loading screen.
Yeah,
go
I want to put on this new item or whatever, new gun on my mech or whatever, and then get back at loading screen.
Exactly. Yeah, being able to change gear in the world, that's huge.
And it's such a goofy oversight of, again, a team that I think had their heads down probably working on it and didn't think that would be a problem, or just didn't. By the time they realized it was going to be a problem, they couldn't fix it in time for launch. Because, again, think about it now. Like, this game's been out quite a while, and this is finally getting patched. Like, clearly they had to go in and mess with a whole bunch of stuff. How much Anthem did you play?
I finished the campaign.
Okay.
I haven't really played it too much since then.
Yeah.
The end game was just too grindy for me.
Yeah.
Like, same thing happens to me with all these kind of games. You know, Destiny, Division, every game like this, I usually bounce off after I finish the campaign.
Understandable. Do you think, when you finished it, outside of loading screens, what was your take on Anthem?
I thought, I noticed something, that every BioWare game has the exact same story template.
Yeah.
Where you play as a hero in a long forgotten organization of former heroes.
Yeah.
Fighting an ancient evil that's come back, and you have to get a ragtag group of people and recruit people to then take on the big bad guy at the
end. Sure, sure.
It's like the exact same story. And it just feels even more generic in this.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the biggest reason for that is because they took away all of your companions.
Right.
Because in every other BioWare game, you're talking to your companions, you're fighting with them in the field, you're going on missions. Now they're just a voice in your ear. And so it was a very different experience. They wanted you to play co-op with other people, but usually those people don't talk if they're strangers, and you lose out on all that character development.
Yeah, and, 100%. Yeah. Like, we talked about it on the shows before, obviously. I enjoyed Anthem for what I put into
it. Yeah, the gameplay was great. I mean, it was a fun game.
I loved I loved blasting around. I was the Strider, right? So I was super fast. I'd get in there, gas everybody, attack them, get out.
Yeah, Strider was my second favorite. I usually play the Storm.
Right.
Yeah.
But for me, I always talked about it when we reviewed it, right? It didn't click with me on the two nights I played with other people until the Saturday where I woke up and played by myself. And that's when it was like, oh, when I can walk around Fort Tarsus and talk to people on my own, they do have stories and they are telling me interesting. Yeah. And I do like you and I hate you and this, that, and the other.
It's almost like two games.
Exactly. It was very much a mashup.
It's even first person versus third person between those two areas as well. It's really strange.
Yeah, there's something to Anthem, and I will be fascinated to see if it can have a No Man's Sky, if it can have a Final Fantasy XIV kind of redemption arc. Like, you look at stuff here and it's like, wow, that's all great. I'm obsessed with The Division 2, right? And obviously you and I are both playing Days Gone for review, and we have that embargo coming up. So it's like, when I'm done with Days Gone and a couple of the other games I have floating around for you, like Jupiter and Mars, PlayStation VR.
Yeah, I need to finish that too.
I want to get, I want to jump back to Division. So it's like Anthem continues to move down the list.
Right.
But I hope that what's going to happen is a year from now, they're going to drop some giant expansion. It's going to be awesome. It's going to have not just these patch notes we're talking about today, a year's worth of fixes that I'll turn it back on and be like, oh my gosh, like, it's still the gameplay I love, but all these pain points, all these problems I've had are gone too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's possible, because I do see it just continue to get ragged on. Now, granted, it's because I'm still following the subreddit and I still see people dogpiling on everything, but it's also the goodwill I felt that was there seems to be gone. On the Anthem subreddit in particular, like, it used to be like, this sucks, but blah, blah. Now it's just like, no, this sucks. Like, what the fuck? When they canceled the stream because in the internet and everybody thought it was an inside job, kind of, it's like, okay, everybody. Like, it's still, they're just eating each other alive over there. It's like, we'll see what happens. But I remember when No Man's Sky was like that.
And then it seemed to be compounded as well by the fact that, that all the news about what could have been Dragon Age was canceled, and now it's like Anthem with dragons, and whatever that means, it's still up in the air. But it's sad to see, because BioWare is one of my favorite developers, and it seems bizarre that this is the kind of game that they decided to make or were told to make. It's still unclear about whose idea it was to make it the way it is. And it's strange, because, multiplayer online only co-op shooter isn't what I would ever think of for a BioWare game.
Right.
And
it was somebody on Twitter. I should have. I mean, whatever. I don't even remember if it was somebody in the industry or just a funny tweet. But it was after the Respawn reveal of Star Wars, and they're like, "Wait, let me get this straight." BioWare, one of the best people for single player stories ever, was given a multiplayer game or a multiplayer online game as service. Then Respawn, known for their multiplayer online games as a service, was given a Star Wars single player only game. What are you doing? What are you doing, EA?
They don't know.
They don't know, man. Hey, maybe they're gonna, you know, correct it all from here on out. You don't know.
Okay.
And also Respawn, let them go. That Titanfall 2 campaign was great.
Excellent.
In the chat, or not the chat, I'm sorry. In kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Justin pops in to say the Strider is not a class in Anthem. It's the Interceptor that you guys were thinking of. Very true.
Oh, right. Okay.
I forget, where does Strider come from? Tell me that, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, it's Storm, Interceptor, Colossus, and Ranger. Once I got
my Interceptor, I was like, you unlocked other things. I'm like, I don't care. I'm getting good at this. I'm building out things for this. I got nothing else going on here. Number three, there's more of that Fortnite Cross Avengers hotness over on the Fortnite Twitter. Again, today an image was posted. It is, of course, Thor's axe hammer thing. Stormbringer, right?
Stormbreaker.
I just watched Infinity War again over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And like when I always forget what he calls the new Mjolnir or whatever. And so
it took me almost 10 years to figure out how to pronounce that.
Mjolnir. Yeah, exactly.
He has a different one.
Yeah, but it's just like when Peter Dinklage says Stormbreaker or whatever. And Rocket's like, seems a bit much. Yeah. And that's like, that's probably why I never remember.
I'm so excited. I'm doing
just
my
ex. I can't wait.
I'm doing my rewatch. And so I'm doing Ragnarok tonight and then Infinity War tomorrow. And then we got Endgame on Thursday, baby.
Delicious.
Let's go.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, Stormbreaker's up there now being held up by, I think, what looks to be like the little goldfish arm, but I can't tell. Do you play Fortnite?
I don't. Okay. No. PUBG was my Battle Royale game for probably about a year and a half, and then I haven't really been playing much Battle Royale since.
Gotcha.
I liked Apex. It's just that there are so many games that want you to play them constantly that it's impossible to keep up. You know, especially with all the embargoes reviews and all that.
The next thing to do for work, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to,
I understand. Yeah, I haven't been on Fortnite in a duck's age, but whatever they're going to drop on the 25th, if it's costumes, I'm going to go in there and buy them all. So whenever I do get back to the addiction that is Fortnite, it'll be there for me. Number four, World War Z has sold more than 1 million units. This is from Jason Wilson at Venture Beat. Zombie games can still bring in big sales as publisher Focus Home Interactive and developer Saber Interactive announced today that their co-op shooter World War Z has passed more than 1 million copies sold since its April 16th launch on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It accomplished this despite not being on Steam. It's an Epic Game Store exclusive for PC. This is a fantastic showing for Saber, the New Jersey-based studio that put out Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn, and NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 last year. Saber Interactive CEO Matthew Karch said that World War Z is better than he thought it would. Is better. I think he means better, doing better than he thought it would outside of the U.S. and that it's at its peak, World War Z had 70,000 concurrent players during launch week. So happy to see that. I talk about it, when I went to GDC, went and took a demo for it. Had no idea what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Walked out like, holy shit, that was awesome. It's Left 4 Dead. It's Left 4 Dead with zombies that run on top of each other. We'd gotten codes last week. We were going to do a party mode. And in sure as shit, kind of funny fashion, the servers for this game were down. It was launch day. I don't think Focus Home and Saber are the biggest developers and publishers around. Right. And they were just getting rocked. And it was like, all right, cool, missed the boat. This weekend was all Days Gone reviewing. And then I think today, actually, in the afternoon, we're trying to get back in there and do the World War Z stuff. But I was super happy with it. I hope it holds up on PS4. I want to play it there.
Those trailers are excellent that they've done for that game. I show that to my wife. She doesn't play games very often, but she loves zombies and Disney.
Okay.
So it's I agree. That's okay. My face, all right. Too, yeah, every day. She loves Kingdom Hearts, and she loves, she used to play Left 4 Dead and all that stuff and the Walking Dead games. So I showed her the trailer, and she was super hyped about it. But then we found out there's no local co-op, which is the case for almost every game these days. Yeah, I haven't played it yet.
Gotcha.
But I want to check it out because those swarms look incredible.
Yeah, from when I played at GDC, it was a lot of fun. And it scratches that itch that I think so many games, like Evolve, didn't. Is that, hey, guess what? This is a game you can jump into and have fun and pick up the weapons you want to pick up. And you don't need to... I mean, there are classes, but they're not like... It's not like Evolve, where it was like, I need to talk to you and tell you how to do this while I put this guy and tether him and you put
him. You know what a really bad co-op zombie game is?
What's that?
Overkill's The Walking Dead. That was not a good game.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, it died pretty quick.
It did. It
died really quick when it came
did.
Out.
Ironically, it did not live very long. Yeah.
Yeah.
I reviewed that for IGN and I did not have a good time. I want to say a 4 or 5 something. Yeah. I can't remember.
Ouch. Yeah. I saw it on PC, played a little bit on PC, and it was like, there's interesting mechanics here in terms of like, oh, well, they're like, you know, how to sneak up and how to distract them. And like, there was one part where I was playing with another player and he drew them and I was able to walk up and stab him in mind. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then it was like, I was like, I'm going to wait for console. And then I was like, this game sucks so much, it's not coming to console. I was like, oh, okay, well, moving on with my life. God rest your soul. And then, finally, number 5, the Epic Games Store exclusivity means money. I bet a lot of people didn't think about this. This is James Batchelor over at GamesIndustry.biz. He's talking about Snapshot Games' Phoenix Point. I'll let them explain, but this is our ongoing discussion of what's going on at Epic and why. Snapshot Games' Phoenix Point isn't due to be released until September, yet the game has nearly doubled its development costs already. That's according to an email sent to Fig backers shared on Reset Era. The document tells holders of Fig game shares that the strategy title has already accrued a 191% return, a 91% return on the investment into the game. This is no small part due to the exclusivity deal for Epic Games Store, with Fig reporting that this agreement has brought in significant resources for Snapshot, and this will ultimately benefit backers as well. Quote, since the received cash advance contributes to the game's revenue, it will be shared with investors as per our licensing agreement with Snapshot, the email reads. Additionally, investment returns will continue to accrue with sales of the game, end quote. Remachinit, the forum member who shared the email, attempted to calculate how much Epic paid for the exclusivity using various financial documents for Snapshot, claiming it amounts to around $2.25 million. GamesIndustry.biz has contacted Epic to find out if these maths are even vaguely accurate. Epic's exclusivity deals have been somewhat divisive since the store launched around Christmas. Snapshot co-founder Julian Gollop already defended the decision to temporarily make the new platform the only sales channel for Phoenix Point after complaints from backers. So this is one of those that made headlines when it happened, because of course Fig is you buying in, it's like an Indiegogo, but you get a return if you contribute enough on a certain thing.
Right. Yeah.
So again, a crowd,
people are investors, not just backers.
Exactly. Yeah. A crowdfunded game that then again went from being crowdfunded to actually be having a huge investment from Epic, and as this says, going up 191%. I think this is a more interesting one. You've seen a lot of people get flack for their Kickstarter games, their Indiegogo games, going and making an exclusivity deal like this. However, with this already having a financial kickback if you're a Fig backer, it makes more sense, but it's so fascinating of talking about, yeah, like 191%, right, is where they're at, meaning that if you're a backer now, or a Fig contributor, I guess, stockholder, shareholder, you're seeing money signs in your eyes, right? Because now whatever this game's going to make, it's just going to be gravy. If they hit all their development milestones on time, if they deliver the right way, if they keep up and don't owe more and more money. It's been fascinating. You're more in the PC world than me. What's your read on Epic Games Store?
For me, I think a lot of the outcry against it is, it's a bit ridiculous, I think. For a case like this, it's a little more interesting because it makes me wonder. I haven't seen what the original Fig pitch was on the site, but if you have people investing in your company, if you were selling them the idea of having a game on Steam, then it's a little weirder, you know, because you're promising something and you're accepting money, and then it's a little stranger. I mean, maybe they just said it's coming to PC. I don't know. But, you know, this is a game a lot of people are excited about. This is the one from the XCOM guy, right? This is the, like, spiritual successor, I think, to XCOM.
That sounds right, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. Yeah. And it's strange there. I'm going to bring up VR because it's what I do.
Yeah, please do.
There's a lot of allegories to the VR market right now, because with Oculus on PC, they have the Oculus Home Store. And you have to have an Oculus headset to access that store. And there's a lot of exclusive games on that store that aren't on Steam. And a lot of them are great. And they require you to have an Oculus headset to use that store, even though it's on PC. So you have a PC. Usually you would think you can access any game on PC just by using your PC.
Yeah.
But you need the right headset. And so people are upset about that. And there's hacks to get around it. You can play your Oculus games on a Vive. There's a hack for it.
Yeah.
But for that, it's a little different because you're using the same PC, but you're restricting it based on a peripheral, a headset. Huh. And so that's a huge problem for people right now. Is a lot of.
Do you think there'll be movement on it? Is Oculus going to back down?
No, they seem to be doubling down on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with the Quest coming out, there's a lot of cross-buy titles now.
Okay.
So if you have a Rift and you already bought, you know, I think one of the games that was confirmed to be cross-buy, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's a few that are already confirmed. Sure. That if you have it on Rift, once you get your Quest, you'll have it on there already.
I would assume Beat Saber is going to be one of them, right?
They haven't confirmed it. Okay. We've asked them, and they said that they're still deliberating.
Okay.
Superhot's another one that's not confirmed yet.
Interesting.
But there's a lot of games that are going to be on both. And so for some people, they bought their Rift games on Steam.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to ensure, like, oh, if I switch from Rift in the future, I'll still have access to it. But now the Quest is coming out, and it's the opposite, where people that bought on home are being almost rewarded with cross-buy. And it's a confusing, weird place right now because there are so many VR headsets in the PC space especially.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably have close to a dozen at home that are for PC. Yeah.
Where do you keep them all?
On the floor. It's just clutter everywhere.
Yeah. That's fascinating. I didn't even think about that because that, you know, obviously as we talk, the story that comes up here is always Steam versus Epic
right.
in terms of the store. I've never thought about it from that we're now fragmenting the PC market so much into the headsets.
Yeah, Epic, I believe some games on Epic have VR support or some will be coming out with VR support.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure. I haven't launched a VR game from Epic before
yeah.
because on Steam, they have their own runtime. Like it's the Steam VR, like whatever that you need to have open for a game to launch, and Oculus has their own.
Gotcha.
So I don't even know what would happen on Epic. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Do you? So you're talking about Oculus is doubling down on it. Do you see it coming where eventually people are going to knock each other out, and you're going to have one, or it's going to go back to how Steam was?
It's right now. It's so much up in the air. I think a lot of people speculate this is a lot of the reasons why people like Palmer Luckey and Brendan Iribe left Oculus is because they were against that closed ecosystem or
sure.
the walled garden, as Tim Sweeney calls it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, for me as someone that has access to all the headsets, you know, there's not enough people in the VR market right now for there to be profitability just releasing a game on Steam for every headset usually. You know, it's very hard to make money in VR. So when you have companies like Oculus and Sony throwing money at you for an exclusive, as a developer, it makes sense to take that deal because later on you can just port it over anyway.
Sure.
And so, I mean,
look
consumers...
at Moss, right? I mean, like, look at anybody but Moss, where it was like, we're a PlayStation VR title, and then what, was 6 months later they started porting
that? Yeah, yeah. And then Beat Saber did the same thing pretty much. And there's been a lot of games that have done that. I think, like, Skyrim was an exclusive on PSVR for a while.
That's where it started. Yeah.
And I mean, the same thing's happening with Epic versus Steam and this kind of stuff too. It's, you know, I think at the end of the day, there's less cause for being upset if you're not a VR user because you can still, for no extra cost, just download the Epic Store.
Sure.
You can still download the same game. You don't need a different headset or a different, you know, input device like in the VR community where they do. But you know, it's tricky because whenever you have investors with all these people and backers like that, you know, people are going to have more claim to be upset than just a normal Reddit, you know, troll.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm just somebody who's invested in the platform, let alone I have money in the game, right?
Right.
Well, David, I can't wait to see how this all nets out. What's going to happen? Whose VR headset will rule? Who's going to get money? What's going to go
on
with Epic
Games
Store?
Answers at the E3 VR showcase.
You'll have none of those answers, but even if you did... The upload E3 VR showcase is so far away. If I needed something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah, I just want to point out the fact that this week is Endgame. Be cool in the chat.
Are people not being cool in the chat?
There's possible spoilers in chat, and I'm trying to figure it out.
Mods, just fucking delete
shut
them.
It down.
But delete, delete. Matt Hardy.
Just remember, be cool in the chat. Endgame is very
special
for
rumors, all. I had heard a Joey Noel brought to the forefront out there, a sub-only mode for the rest of the week, so that we could dodge that.
You know, I saw a spoiler.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you, but I saw it on a thread about Game of Thrones.
See, this is
people
my thing.
Are going everywhere.
This is my thing of like, it's, and I got a text last night from my friend who went to the premiere, and he's like, I'm not going to talk about the movie. He's like, just don't go on the internet, though, because everything's getting spoiled now.
Well,
I'm like, that's hard for me. That's really hard.
Literally.
And so there's that thing now where I've been opening up things and looking, and I haven't seen anything, but I was like, why am I in here? Like, why do I care about this Reddit thing? Get out.
I don't need it. I don't need to read this. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No.
Joey, what do you want to do? You want to just put it in sub-only mode? You want to lock it down? It is only sub-only mode. Somebody's out there. Is it Zyger?
It's probably Zyger.
Is it Amy Gills?
No, I trust Amy.
Amy and Andrew Francis are the one that put it in sub-only mode.
All right, fine. Mm. Out today! Mm. Dragon's Dogma Dark Horizon on Switch. Yeah?
One of the most underrated RPGs of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Huh, okay. What do you like
Excellent.
About it?
Excellent. It is... So I saw a tweet about it that summed my feelings up exactly. I can't remember who it was, but it is all of the things that I like about Dark Souls without all the baggage of being a Dark Souls game.
Huh.
In an open world mixed with traditional medieval high fantasy, it's amazing.
Huh. Well, all right then. That's good to know. It's a port, right? The Dragon's Dogma.
It is. So okay. It's a port of a remaster. So there was Dragon's Dogma on PS3 and whatnot, and then Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, which was a re-release with a ton of new content, and now that's being ported to Switch. I haven't played on Switch. I don't know how it is, but on PS3, PS4, it's incredible. It's good game.
Beyond Enemy Lines, Covert Operations on Switch. Biplane Racer on PC. Tank X on PC. Bit Dungeon 3 on PC. Never Winter Under Mountain on PC, and then it's coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One June 11th. That's an early new date for you. And then Mortal Kombat 11 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. EJ writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, you know, I'm a little heartbroken. I bought the $100 edition of Mortal Kombat 11, and the word on the street is that the game is a grind, and the unlockables are random loot-style boxes. I mean, what the fuck? Even the fatalities are behind loot boxes? What makes this matter worse is that, it's all for adding microtransactions. I hate where the industry is going, well, has gone. Release a game, make the unlock system a grind, disable microtransaction for review copies so the game can get a high score, unlock the microtransactions, a year later, patch the grind. NetherRealm is going to make a lot of money regardless. The hardcore players, like myself, will buy the season pass to get the new characters. The casual will buy the loot boxes in order to get the items and the abilities to level up their characters for a single player content. Look at MK9 through MK11. It shows you how microtransactions have influenced game design. MK9 unlockables are done in a certain way. It's easy to unlock everything. You play to unlock the content on the disc, pay for DLC. Mortal Kombat 10, or Mortal Kombat X, a little more of a grind. But when unlocking things in the crypt... But when unlocking, it wasn't randomized. If you play the game normally, you can unlock everything in a reasonable amount of time. You could buy all the unlockables for $20, but abilities weren't behind that $20. MK11, I predict you will buy loot boxes or buy things that increase your chances of getting something good, like abilities and ability slots. I'm disappointed, because when Mortal Kombat 11 succeeds and sells 10 million plus copies, the other fighting games will try it, but then they will get criticized for doing it. And if the fighting game doesn't do it, they will only sell 2 million copies and people will say the fighting games are dead. EJ's fired up.
I can see why. It's understandable. I haven't played a Mortal Kombat game since 9. That was the last one I played.
Yeah.
But I remember the way the unlockables worked. It was all through the crypt. You just played. You unlocked stuff. It was an incentive to keep playing the game the way that it was structured. It was a really good system, I thought. I really liked it. You know, playing a fighting game, for me, those carrots, you know, the carrots of, you know, new costumes and new abilities or artwork and, you know, fatality, all that stuff is great. Putting that behind a paywall feels weird. It's like,
yeah, and that's the thing, of course, now EJ's out there, not hypothesizing, but like jumping off of what he's hearing and all this different stuff, which has been rumors I've heard as well in terms of undercurrents. I saw the reviews post, they're all real positive, but then I have heard, like IGN gave it a flat 9. I saw other people tweeting about it, doing stuff all over the place. One of them being, of course, Destin Legary. From IGN.com.
That's a hot take. Look,
he tweeted last night, completed a Mortal Kombat 11 tower, was about to fight the final boss. The timer ran out, and now I can't get my rewards. Really not digging the timer and modifiers. I like the towers. Okay. Hey, hi, Destin. You're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Hold on 1 second. I'm reading your tweet. I like the towers, but sometimes they're really cheap. Destin, how are you? You're on Kind of Funny Games Daily with me and David.
Hey, I'm doing great.
So what's going on with Mortal Kombat? I've seen the reviews. They're positive. I've seen the undercurrent of people being mad about loot boxes, microtransaction paywalls, and then EJ wrote in all fired up today. What is your read so far on this?
So I'm glad that they're patching the towers. There's a few of the challenges that are a little gimmicky in that the PC will have like 400% health, and then anytime you get too close, you will be electrocuted and you're unable to move. So I don't really like that.
Sure.
And then yesterday I was going through a tower. There's a timer. I beat a really challenging tower and then I was about to fight the final boss. It's like, sorry, time's up. No rewards at all for you. And that was frustrating.
Sure.
So
yeah.
When I heard they were patching it, that was good.
Have you, like, EJ's bringing up, he's like, are fatalities behind loot boxes? That's something he's saying?
It seems like that too. Yeah, they're all locked behind the crypt. So be sure to go to the IGN wiki, which should have them all listed.
All right.
Where would I go to IGN.com to find that wiki?
Correct.
Oh wow. Okay. Great. Do you feel is it a fair system? Is it microtransactions gone too far? Are people freaking out? What's happening?
So the store opened today. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but as soon as I do, I will finalize my opinion. But pre-release, I really did not like it because you can't do half the fatalities in the game, and that's like one of the staple montages.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, everybody stay tuned to Destin Legarry on Twitter. He'll give you his hot take soon.
All right, I'll catch you later, Greg.
All right, bye, Destin. Love you.
Bye.
I do want to just point out for the fact of how good, like, I think a lot of people take for granted, like, how good podcasters are, our video game people are. Destin was not prepared for that. I did not text him earlier, being like, I'm going to call you somewhere. I just call him and he's like, hey, here's fucking off the top of my head everything that's happening in World Combat. That's how good Destin Legarry is and how good you are if you're in this industry.
Yeah. Did you notice that he didn't say he loved you back?
Then? I did. Okay. Destin, we've talked about it before. I'm pretty sure Destin's a robot or a cyborg and doesn't feel emotions. You know what I mean?
That's why I appreciated him as a boss.
Why? Because he's just like, you've done an adequate job, Barrett. Here's a raise.
Yeah.
That's why you must hate us.
Yeah.
We're like, no money, but free donuts. We filled your bedroom with donuts. New dates for you. Dormians. Doramian? It's Dora, but it's Damon. So it'd be Doramian Story of Seasons for the Switch and PC and Steam is coming out in the Americas fall of 2019. LEGO DC Supervillain Shazam Movie Packs 1 and 2 are available now. Gummy Incorporated invites all Brave Frontier players to partake in the upcoming The King of Fighters collaboration. Starting from April 24th to May 22nd, players will get the chance to acquire 4 new characters in-game alongside old favorites. And I'm a fan of anything Gummy Interactive does. Shakedown Hawaii is coming to PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita. It lives May 7th. Conrad's Kittens comes to PlayStation VR tomorrow. I looked at the graphics for this game, a little bit of the stuff, and I'm like, if this game isn't a 30-minute platinum, they're missing the mark. Because it's just Conrad taking care of his kittens. Conrad, also a cat, it appears.
Yeah, so I don't know how it works on PSVR, but on Vive on PC, you could get a Vive tracker, which was like this little puck thing that you could attach to any object to make it trackable in VR.
Sure.
And the idea was you would attach that puck to a stuffed animal cat, and then while you're in VR, you would pick up your little stuffed animal and the cameras would be able to track it. And so that was the concept on PC. I don't know how
it's... PSVR, I assure you, does not have that functionality. No. Duct tape your Move controller to your favorite stuffed animal, but only keep the light bar focused in.
Yeah, yeah.
GT Sport 1.38 also gets an update today that adds 5 new cars. David, it's time for Reader Mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First sponsor is Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Up to 90% of us don't brush our teeth for the full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. A multi-use cover mounts to your mirror and unmounts to slide over your bristles for on-the-go brushing. This declutters your sink or cabinet and makes traveling with an electronic toothbrush easy. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why I use it, why Nick uses it, why Tim uses it. Barrett, you use it, right? Isn't that right? Weren't you one of them yesterday?
Yeah. Because
everybody in the room yesterday uses it.
David, did you use it?
I've never heard of it.
You got to get on
does
it.
Does it actually last 3 months? Is that real?
It does. No. No joke. I bought my own Quip with my own money. Like, it's great. Quip's really cool.
Same.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the cool black on black. Like,
you got the black on black? Yeah, I got the blue on white because I wanted it to be kind of funny. Yeah. And then I got Jen the rose gold one.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Rose gold was fancy.
Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Our next sponsor is Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get the stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your credit score? It won't be now thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost Americans' credit scores with the help of millions of people across the country and build with better credit tax. Well, I screwed that all up, but you understand. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and cell phone. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two, but with Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. Up until now, you've been paying your utility and cell phone bills and not getting any credit for it. Now you can. Of course, I talked about this yesterday. I don't know if you know, credit scores, it's a pain in the butt. It's a big old pain
in
the butt.
It's important.
It's important. I know it's important. That's why that's why we're promoting Experian here. That I looked at my thing one time and I had this credit card from college that I had paid off, but then all of a sudden had interest on nobody told me, man. And then it dinged the whole score. And I had to call and file a thing and I had to do all this stuff.
My score got tanked because whenever I was in high school, I wasn't even 18 yet.
Yeah.
But my mom and I had an apartment that she didn't pay some fee on when we moved out.
Yeah.
And they attached it to me. I was like 16 at the time, but it carried with me for like 10 years. I didn't know about it.
This is an easy way to boost it. Yeah. I can't believe it's taking somebody this long to figure it out. What are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help raise and establish or increase your access to credit. Boost your FICO score instantly and for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KF Games. That's Experian.com/games. Final sponsor, Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. It's about time for a bedding upgrade. I, of course, love my Brooklinen sheets. You know this. If you see a photo of Portillo on Instagram, he is in the sheets because I love the sheets so much. I wash them and I don't put other sheets on. You know how you do that? You take the sheets, you wash them, you put them right back on. And then they feel all hot and nice when you go to bed. Brooklinen Sheets were named the winner of the best of online category for good housekeeping, for best of online bedding. They were founded by husband and wife in 2014 with a mission to make 5-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 30,000 5-star reviews. They don't just feel great, they look great too. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. Brooklinen.com is giving exclusive offer to my listeners. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. The Nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey David, welcome back to Kinda Funny and Kinda Funny Games Daily. How did you get into writing about VR and a VR site? Do you prefer VR over gaming on a TV, handheld, PC?"
Okay, so I'll address the first question first.
Sure. I like how you're running it like a press conference. Yeah. All right, I'll answer the first part first.
For me, I think I touched on this last time I was on the show, but I started writing on a volunteer basis while I was going to school and doing full-time non-gaming stuff. And I first tried VR, I think, at GDC 2014, 2015.
Sounds about right.
And it was one of the old Oculus DK headsets. It was like a little test demo where I was a dinosaur hatching out of an egg with like a mom T-Rex looking down at me. Okay. It was terrifying.
Yeah, it doesn't sound and like
then,
a great one.
Then I played Eve Valkyrie on Project Morpheus, which is now PSVR, obviously.
Yep.
And that was the game that sold me. Playing that game.
Eve
that
Valkyrie turned a lot
blew
of heads.
Blew me away. Yep. And so after that moment, I started covering VR more just out of pure interest.
Yeah.
And then a friend of a friend that was at Upload VR was like, "Hey, they need someone to cover games and focus on games." This was in 2016, right before the Rift and Vive launched. And they're like, "These headsets are coming out. There's going to be tons of games. We need someone to focus on that." And I was like, done. You know, that's like dream job. Full-time writing about games. That's what I've literally always wanted to do. And so that's what I've been there for 3 years now.
Wow.
And I mean, VR is crazy. Like, whenever I started, there were these just little tiny random headsets that not many people knew about, and now I see commercials for Quest and Go on TV with, you know, Adam, what's his name from Maroon 5, Adam Levine, like wearing a headset and, you know, making jokes.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and it's
so
like,
real.
Exactly.
Song about Jane.
And I mean, it's just been really cool to see VR take off like that. You know,
I am extremely fascinated to see what happens with Quest. When I put that on, that was such a holy shit mind blown moment that I haven't had since. I mean, I've had it with games, game by game basis, and then the first time I used VR ever, and then to put it on and be like, "Wait, what? I can just toss it in a bag and take it anywhere." And
the thing I love about the Quest, the way I try to describe it to people, is like every other headset has some kind of caveat to it. Like PSVR has one single camera. You can't turn around, you know, or the it includes the controllers. You can't move. The Rift and Vive, you can move around, but there's a wire attached. You have to set up all the sensors.
Yeah, yeah.
The Go, you can't, you know, get up and move. It's just turning your head. And so, like, the Quest gets rid of all those problems. You can go anywhere. You can, you know, just walk around your house. You can take it with you and go somewhere else. There's no setup involved.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. I can't wait for it. And that's the thing for me where, obviously, being a PlayStation beat reporter or whatever, PlayStation VR I was covering, I was interested in. I like some of the games on it. Quest is the first one where I use it and I'm like, oh, I would buy this. I will buy this. I want this in my life and I don't know how much I'm going to use it. I hope I use it a lot. I do, but it's like, this is fucking insane. I totally want this. And it, even if I get it and it's just like Beat Saber on the road, I'm going and I want to still have something to do in a hotel room, right? I want to exercise. I toss this little thing in my bag and I'm done.
And some of those games they've announced, it's an incredible lineup. For people, if you don't have a VR headset, then there is... I mean, I love the PSVR. I recommend it to people all the time, and there's great exclusives on that device.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But having it all together for $400 and you get access to like Rec Room and VR Chat are free. You know, those are basically MMOs that you can just be wherever you want to be. You know, it's almost like Ready Player One type stuff. Almost.
Yeah,
not quite. And then you know, like Beat Saber and all those games, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And to answer the second question, I don't think I would say I prefer it. I don't think VR has gotten to that point where it can eclipse something like, you know, like the Elder Scrolls Online, which is an MMO I play all the time. And it's not, you know, there's nothing out there better than a good, amazing AAA game yet.
Sure.
And there's a lot of great indie games that aren't in VR. And I play my Switch a lot. I play VR a lot. I play PS4 a lot. I'm still playing everything about the same.
Yeah.
It's just another part of my gaming life now.
Yeah. And it's your job. It's your beat, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. If it wasn't my job, I probably wouldn't use VR as much as I do.
Yeah.
And that's just because, you know, time, mostly.
Of course.
But I don't think it'll ever really replace traditional gaming, just like TV didn't replace radio. It was just another, you know, medium.
Another avenue. Yeah.
So I mean, I love it, and if you have a PS4, it's hard not to recommend a PSVR.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's only going to get better, and I think eventually they're going to fix PlayStation Plus to include VR games every month, and then that's
just weird. That isn't just a thing. You know?
It's one of those. I think they just wanted to wind down PlayStation 3 and Vita because that's still pretty fresh in terms of stopping that. And then I think you wind that up, especially when they're talking now that it's going to go with PlayStation 5. Well, then you're going to have this library of years of games that you who cares? Put Batman Arkham on there. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Why not do that? And then just have a library that encourages everybody to go buy it.
For sure.
Alec from Minnesota writes in. It's not even a real question. He just wants to make sure we don't forget it like we forgot it yesterday. Hey, team. Not really a question, but I wanted to talk about something that was mentioned on yesterday's show. Greg and Andrea were talking about their favorite historical video games, and they tended to focus on larger AAA games. But I think they were forgetting about some stellar smaller games that are excellent too, like Valiant Hearts.
Oh,
this is one of my favorite games of all time because I love the story they told and how they mixed the historical facts as well. Again, not a question, but I wanted to give a shout out to all the smaller games that impacted us and touched our hearts.
He's right.
Alec is 100%. Alec is 100%
good
correct.
Shout.
If you didn't know, obviously, huge Valiant Hearts guy, Greg, and I loved it. I think what we got hung up on yesterday was talking more about those games being able to put you, like, we're talking about, obviously, Notre Dame, and how, you know, like, Assassin's Creed, Unity being able to put you there and have your, I think we're thinking too literally on the nose, like, what, a game that lets me walk around that way. Valiant Hearts a great game, of course, but it's like, you know, the dog's digging and these, like, things, and it, like, it taught you a lot of facts and shit.
Yeah.
Great story, and I love Valiant Hearts, made me cry, I think, but, like, a little bit different, but true, also true. Valiant Hearts, everybody should play. Guess what, Barrett?
What?
We got a required reading, everybody.
Oh, shit.
Over at Polygon, Colin Campbell writes how Fortnite's success led to months of intense crunch at Epic Games. Of course, we always talk about Kotaku doing such great work with all these crunch articles, behind the scenes stuff. Colin's got a great one today, too. It's very long. I'll read some parts from it here, just some selects to get you started and encourage you to go to Polygon and read it. The popularity of Fortnite has been transformative for Epic Games, but the game's explosive growth led to months of intense crunch for Epic employees and contractors, some of whom say they felt extreme pressure to work grueling hours to maintain Fortnite's success and profitability, resulting in a toxic, stressful environment at the company. In a dozen interviews conducted by Polygon over a period of several months, current and former employees say they regularly worked in excess of 70-hour work weeks, with some reporting 100-hour weeks. Contract staff in Epic's quality assurance and customer service departments spoke of a stressful and hostile working environment in which working overtime, while officially voluntarily, was an expected service of the company. Quote, I work an average of 70 hours a week, said one employee. There's probably at least 50 or even 100 other people at Epic working those hours. I know people who pull 100-hour weeks. The company gives us unlimited time off, but it's also impossible to take time off. If I take time off, the workload falls on the other people, and no one wants to be that guy. The biggest problem is that we're patching all the time. The executives are focused on keeping Fortnite popular for as long as possible, especially with all the new competition that's coming in. Then I jump way, way, way deep to the end of the article. Quote, it's killing people. Something has to change. I can't see how we can go on like this for another year. At first, it was fine because Fortnite was a big success and that felt good. We were solving problems that were new for Epic. How to run a big global game as an online service. But now, the workload is just endless. End quote. Of course, something to go read. I think Paul, he reached out for comment from Epic and they didn't have it as of time of publish. So, just a good piece to go over there and see. Obviously, keep an eye on this. This is something we talk about a lot on this show, how to treat developers better and how to make this stuff work. But I think for as much as we talk about how great Fortnite is, how successful Fortnite is, it's interesting to get something from behind the lines, right, and see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, just like trying to do the math in my head, 100-hour work week, that assuming no days off, you know, probably working 7 days, that's what, 14 hours a day?
Yeah.
That's just, oh my, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, So again, a great piece from Colin over there. Polygon, how Fortnite's success led to months of intense crunch at Epic Games. Everybody, check it out. David, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast servers around the globe. Phoenix98 says the strider that you are referring to in Anthem actually comes from Titanfall. Thank you. That's one thing I was worrying about.
Okay.
Ill Grill Chill says Dead and Buried 2 and Tilt Brush are crossed by with Quest and Rift. Not that we were wrong, but something to point out.
Yeah,
I don't mind
we
that.
Actually have a whole article on uploadvr.com.
There it is. Yeah, do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Admiral Bench says, and you're wrong, Giant Bomb said in their quick look of MK11, albeit pre-release, that fatalities can still be performed without unlocking them as long as you know the combo. Unlocking them just makes the combo available to the player in the game. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to test it personally, but Gerstmann's normally pretty trustworthy. Jeff Gerstmann? Not true. No, he's a great guy. No, he's a great dude. Again, it's pre-release. I doubt they changed that, but that was something that had come up here.
That would make sense, I guess.
Okay. Ninty Nervash is also trying to jump in here with the fatalities and brutalities thing. You don't have to unlock them. That's just how you get it there. So, okay, interesting. And then Lord of Pwn says, Slay the Spire comes to PlayStation 4 on May 21st, a missed date. Thank you very much.
Greg, are you excited for tomorrow morning? Apparently that's when we're getting the Persona 5 Royale news.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'll be on a plane to LA tomorrow morning.
And then the next day is the Persona 5 S news.
With Persona 5 Switch, finally.
Probably not.
Come on, buddy.
It's probably Persona 5 Stadium.
Come on, buddy. Come on. Have some fun. Enjoy it, Barrett. Enjoy it. All right?
Can't.
You're a son of a bitch. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow's host is going to be Fran and Gary Witta. Thursday will be Greg and Andrea. Friday it will be Fran and Tim. Of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, podcast services around the globe. David, you, of course, are at Upload VR. People can find your work there all the time. But nobody forget the Upload VR E3 VR Showcase, June 10th, 9 a.m. That's an E3 Showcase. Very exciting stuff.
It is. I'm terrified.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Don't worry. You'll have a great time. I got to figure out where to put this game showcase now, Barrett. You need to find a place. All right?
Tomorrow.
No, that's not E3. That doesn't work. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Thank you.